And as I was thinking, what is this? I clicked on it, and I looked at the photo, and somehow, a photographer at a baseball game captured this moment. Maybe you've seen it, where a father has his arm outstretched, and you see a bat hitting his arm, and right behind his arm is his son. Unbeknownst to him, there's a bat flying to his face. He's on his phone, and he looks up, dumbfounded, and there is his dad's arm protecting him from the bat. And I thought about that when Brother Nate Wright was catching those lethal nerds being projected from the pulpit. It made me think about that moment. But it also makes me think about how Christ was bruised for our transgressions. He took the blow of the wrath of God so we could be saved. Listen to Isaiah 53, verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Have you reminisced? Have you remembered? Have you thought upon the crucifixion of our Savior recently and how it resonates with everyone who believes in Christ for their salvation? How wonderful it is to know the wrath of God has been satisfied in Christ. He took our place. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is a great motivation to want to share that good news, the gospel. And as I will talk about from Romans 15, the God of hope with the world. The God of hope. So if you have Romans chapter 15, I'd like to look at the key verse and one we will come to at the end of this sermon in verse 13 as a start. Chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's take a moment to pray, church, and ask God to give us this hope, to give us encouragement, to give us endurance, to give us patience to run this race so that we may share the gospel with the world. Father, as we come before you, we recognize this is the Lord's day. Thank you for giving us this day because we are sheep that have all gone astray and we need to be reminded of our good shepherd, Lord, our heavenly Father who in his mercy and grace sent his Son to, Lord, offer to us hope. But Lord, you made peace because of Jesus. You made peace so that sinful humanity could worship you in spirit and truth, as Jesus says in John 4. But Lord, we pray today that you would fill us with this joy and this peace in believing, as we will read soon. Believing what? That God in Christ's atonement saved us. That God will sustain us in the power of the Spirit. That God will give us a godly peace, not as the world has, that far surpasses a temporal, carnal peace. Lord, grant us unity in glorifying God. May we put aside our pride and live for God's glory together for the cause of Christ. May you make your name known to the nations that they might too have hope. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want to be sensitive to our time, so shout out when we're trying to be done with Sunday school hour. 10 till. All right. I will keep my eye on the time. Well, folks, I just want to take us to Romans 15 and look at two topics today. And that is, we see from the text, the origin of hope and the object of hope. The origin and object of hope. And backing up to verse number 4, we can begin reading and starting to see this unfold. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have, what's the word? Hope. But as we see here in this verse, before we get to the latter part of that verse, we see that whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. Makes me think of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These things are written aforetime for our learning, for our instruction. But I submit to you that perhaps it is more than just the Old Testament was written for our instruction and the Word of God written for our doctrine reproof, but that it was something Paul would want it to bring to surface in Romans 15. And what was Paul trying to get at, as we will soon see? It is that God is seeking worshipers of every tribe, of every people, of every nation, and every language. That this ethnocentric God of the Jews would now become, as we see in the book of Acts, unfold now to the world. Example, Jesus Christ with the woman of Samaria. Example, when Peter is speaking with others that were not Jewish people. And God had to work with his heart about this, saying, look what God is doing. Isn't it marvelous in our eyes? Yes, the Word of God is for instruction, but Paul is using the Word of God, as we will soon see, to show us his redemptive plan for the world. So this topic of is also on missions, that the Gentiles are included in God's plan of salvation for the praise of his glory. Let us first see the origin of hope. The origin of hope. Notice that, as we just read in verse 4, the latter part, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I have a question. What do you think is the we? Who is the we of verse number 4? That we, through patience and comfort. Who is the we of verse 4? Is it we the people? Or we the humanity? We as the mankind of this earth? Or maybe it is a specific people. Maybe it is that we the redeemed. Maybe it is perhaps we the believers, we the children of God by faith. I propose to you that this is the we of verse 4, and not the we of the world, not the we of those outside of Christ, but we that are redeemed. So that this hope is uniquely a Christian hope. Jesus says in chapter 14 of John in verse 27, peace I leave with you. He's going to leave his peace. But he qualifies this type of peace by saying, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth I you. This is a unique peace, a uniquely Christian peace and hope that can only be found in Christ, and so that we, the redeemed, have hope. I think of Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to those that are called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. This is a hope that's only for those in Christ Jesus, a uniquely Christian hope, and something we can rejoice about for those that profess Christ as their Savior. We have hope because of Christ. Because of Christ. Christ won our salvation, and we are rewarded with all salvation's benefits. As we will soon read, some of these benefits include a patience, a consolation, a comfort, an endurance, an encouragement, and most of all, a hope, an eternal hope, that we will be with God for eternity because of His substitutionary death on the cross. In our place, He died for you. There is hope, dear believer. Now we read the next verse. We begin to see these benefits of salvation. One of the many, not just getting to heaven, but what about life now? What about in this daily struggle? Can I just confess to you that when we sing, obedience is the very best way, do you know that my sinfulness doesn't like to obey God? Can a missionary say that? But I am reminded of Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, that says it is God who wills in us to do of His good pleasure. And as we just confessed by singing that song, that hymn before I came up to speak, it was, Lord, teach me to love You. Teach me to obey You. Teach me to have the right motive in honoring You with my life. And so, Christian, we need a word of encouragement for now. There's the hope in the future that is certain for all in Christ. But what about the now, the here, and the daily in and out, the daily grind, or the rat race, as some of us have heard it called? The clock in and clock out, the come home, do the dinner, wash the dishes, does this sound familiar? This is the life we live, but we're called as citizens of another country, pilgrims passing through to a heavenly kingdom, and God is calling us to look onward, to look upward, to look to our Redeemer, Jesus. This is a hope, and I want to give you words of encouragement. Now look at verse number 5. This is the origin of hope. God is the origin of hope, verse 5. The God of what? Patience. This is how Paul is referring to God. He's a God of patience. First of all, perhaps patience could be that of that He was long-suffering, that He, in His own mercy, sent Jesus to die for us. We say, well, don't we all deserve a second chance? Don't we all deserve... Well, honestly, folks, we don't deserve that. Justice does not stand and say, you can have a second chance, Mr. Murderer. Justice says you're declared guilty. It is grace and mercy that God would have mercy to us. And so perhaps it is the patience of God, but also the patience that I think this could be referring to is found in Hebrews 12, as Paul refers to a race. Have you heard these words of Paul? Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so doth easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience. With patience. The race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Are there any runners or once been runners or would be runners in the congregation? Yes, yes. With the race, you know you need to pace yourself. The Ironman race, I heard, was quite intensive. And a gentleman who I was told he would do these Ironman races of, I forget how many miles, it's like 100 miles on a bicycle, swimming through the canal of someplace, who knows where, wherever they do these Ironman things. And then trekking up a mountain and then doing backflips off of it. I don't know. It's crazy things. Things that I could never physically do. This friend is telling me about his friend who is the Ironman racer. He said he enjoys those races more than he enjoys the 5Ks, which are far, far less. Have anyone done a 5K before? Great. You know this is far. You say, I can do 5K, but Ironman, that's a whole other matter, right? But he says, I actually find it more difficult to do the 5K. And his answer was this, because I cannot pace myself in a 5K. He says, I run all out and it makes it so much more difficult that I am burnt out. But with the Ironman, I pace myself. You kind of have to. And we are in a race from birth to death or until the Lord Jesus calls us home. And we need this patience to run this race faithfully. And God is the God of that patience. He is the origin of that hope. He is the one that gives us this patience. But look at another word, church, and consolation. Now the God, in verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Consolation. What is this consolation? I just looked up a quick definition, and perhaps the Greek would be better, but I just found a common definition. And this was a person or thing providing comfort to a person who has suffered. A person or thing providing comfort to a person who has suffered. An example that was given in the dictionary was this, the church was the main consolation in this hard life. Have you experienced suffering in your Christian life? Has there been a loss of a loved one or challenges that you just cannot overcome of your own strength? You have these pulling my hair out of my head moments whether with parenting, whether in marriage, whether in your stress of the job or everyday life, do you just call out and say, I can't, it's too difficult, I give up? The God of consolation is there for you. The God of comfort. The God of great patience and endurance will help you. One commentary said that God is the source of all steadfastness in His redeemed. In His redeemed. And aren't you thankful that God gives us the strength that we need to be faithful in this race? As the apostle says, the race that is set before us. Maybe you can think of times in your life where you were just desperately in need of God's grace. Oh, not just for your justification at new birth, as we sang in Born Again, as we sang that song of Happy Birthday. One will not do. No, we need two. And that is, we would receive Christ and be saved, be born again. But not just a grace for the beginning, but a grace that endures through your life until you have finished the race. It's these sweet moments of just simply reading the Bible that these words come alive and speak to us words of patience, endurance, and comfort. And I say to you that it is through His Word we receive, through the preaching of God's Word, that we receive this. Would you notice the verse? In verse number 4, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, do you see that? Of the Scriptures, might have hope. How do I get this endurance? How do I get this consolation? How do I get this patience? It's through the Word. It's through the Word. God uses His ordinary, these ordinary words, just written things on a piece of paper, but may I submit to you, they're not just ordinary, they're inspired. They're inerrant. They're infallible. And they are timeless truths that cannot ever be done away with. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. This is something that is firm and foundational and changes not in a very much unstable, always changing, difficult life. Cast yourself upon the rock that is Christ, who is the cornerstone the builders rejected, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Run to the Savior, O believer, because Jesus is not just for the lost, He is for you. The gospel is not just for the man who is wayward in sin and lost. The gospel is for you every day, so that the God of patience and consolation can endure you through life's trials, so that we can run this race, so that we can have hope. Now I'd like to transition to how God is the not only the origin of hope, but the object of hope for the nations. This is what Paul is wanting to get at. Now the God of patience, verse 5, and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Why, Paul? Verse 6, that ye may with one mind, one mouth glorify God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus. Paul points to this central theme that every believer should desire and partner in, and that is to the praise of God's glory. To the praise of God's glory. Worship and magnifying God, as it says, with one mind and one mouth is the ultimate scene of heavenly unity. We get a glimpse of it in Revelation 7. And I mentioned this in our short time up here talking with Pastor Josh. And we see people from all kindreds and tongues standing before the throne. And what are they doing? They're crying, as the verse says in verse 10 of Revelation 7, and cried with a singular, loud voice saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Unity in one mind and one mouth, glorifying God. Paul says this is what God wants. So welcome the Gentiles now. So evangelize the world now. So take this word and take it to the rest of the world. Do not hide it under a bushel. No. Let your light so shine before men so that they can see Christ in you. Wherefore, because of Christ, for God's glory, receive you one another. Verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Essentially, Paul is saying, welcome the Gentiles in the family of God. Now I say, verse 8, that Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision, that is the Jews, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. But if you notice, interestingly here, this word of circumcision, and I don't have much time to expound on this, but I simply want us to know, as Paul talks about circumcision, this is a theme. This is a theme of justification by faith that he refers to Abraham and Abraham's promises given to him as a circumcision, as a covenant sign to him, that this would be a sign of the Messiah, a need for Jesus. And now in Romans 4, verse 23, is a text for giving this some more validity, is now it was not written for his sake, that is Abraham alone, not just for Abraham. It was imputed to him, but for us also. For us also, to whom it shall be, will be imputed, if we believe. So that in Romans 5, he could say these words, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Being justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same language of Romans 15 and Romans 5. And to close out, I wish to just simply point out a few more verses. Romans 15, verses 8 through 12. He's quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from the Psalms, the prophets, and the law, bringing validity to the message that God's salvation plan is now going to the Gentiles. It's not excluding the Jews, but it is including the Jews, both Jews and Gentiles, all nations worshiping God. It's not an abandonment of the Jews. It is the inclusion of them and the Gentiles to receive salvation by faith. By faith, as Abraham, when he believed, it was counted to him for righteousness. So in verse number 8, the latter part, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. That God desires that He would have worshipers of every nation. Verse 9, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. What is this from? Psalms. As is written, I, being the Jew, will confess thee, God, among the Gentiles and sing to thy name. Paul's reminding the Jews, remember that in Psalms? God has got a plan for the Gentiles. Just you wait. And here it is. Then he says in verse number 10, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. You know what that's from? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Paul calls for rejoicing because God has brought the blessing of salvation to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And this progression of thought continues in verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. And laud Him, all ye people. Psalms 117 verse 1. And again, Isaiah saith in verse 12, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. And in closing, the final verse. Now the God of hope. Who is He the God of? The God of what, church? Hope. Our hope. Our patience. our endurance, our encouragement, our comfort, but He's also the God of hope to the world. Thus, missions. Thus, we go with this banner of hope in Jesus' name, so that God would have for Himself worshipers of every nation to the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time and being in the Word. And Lord, may You help us, encourage us this week. I don't know where people are coming from, what week of work they may be going into, but Lord, You do. You're the God of consolation, comfort. You're the God of patience, God of encouragement, God of peace, and God of love, and God of hope. May You be with Your people this week as You so promised You would. And Lord, may we take this hope that we experience in this life by faith to the world, because it is them that do not know Jesus, who have never heard the name of Christ and have no hope without God. But Lord, may You send a missionary, or two, or three, or hundreds, Lord, to the nations to bear this beautiful message of the gospel of hope. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.